Now,
you left out somebody.
We have a point of order.
Did you call?
Did you call Alexandra?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I move that we waive the rule and excuse the absences of Casey Sinclair and Adrian Wheeler. Both of them seem to have good excuses. I'm a longtime critic of the rule that says it has to be in by 4 o'clock, and it should be waived and they should be
excused. Is there a second to the motion to waive that rule?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
They don't want to exclude.
No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Guys have it. Can you please put that motion in writing? And Robert Gartner has arrived. Please join us. Okay. All right. Actually, I messed up. Staff recognition. Do we have any staff recognitions this evening? Okay, well.
I have one.
Robert?
Yeah, I would like to. You mentioned it earlier about the folks at Nuestra Palabra. I don't know if everybody was aware of this, but on NPR last week they reported that the great state of Arizona is restoring Spanish language education. Spanish history education. As it turns out, they had never ended the studies of any other minority group, but they are in the process of restoring Hispanic culture education. So that's, I think, in part due to the work of that group.
Would you also put that in writing, or at least an acknowledgement that the board is recognizing Nuestra Palabra? I would like, Dwayne Clark, I am,
sir.
I'm going to have to inform you that, I've lost it. Alexandra Hunter has chosen to withdraw her resignation, and so that seat that you were going to take has not been released. So she has that right.
Yes.
Can you pass this to Wally James? These are the materials that were in the mailbox.
Okay. Thank you.
And one other recognition. It was a letter from the Cajun Awards and Music Festival Committee in Lafayette, Louisiana, recognizing P.T. Johnson. I will pass this around, but we were invited to an event on August the 18th. Unfortunately, I just got it a few days ago in the box. I'll pass that around.
Okay.
So, yes.
I want to recognize Chris Arison, A-R-A-S-I-N, of After Hours. He stayed in the station during the storm until 3 o'clock the afternoon of, I think,
right.
The next day.
I don't know why. But I also wanted to acknowledge Robert Gartner. Oh, I thought you were done. I wanted to acknowledge you as well. Thank you for the programming that you did. It was really good, and everybody I heard really enjoyed it.
It was really cool.
I tried to get Chris to stay longer, but he, I guess, no, can't account for what human beings will do sometimes, but he insisted on leaving and got stuck in a motel for about 3 or 4 days at 290 in the North Loop, and so it cost him as well financially to have stayed.
Okay, and would you please pass a note to Deb so she can include that in the minutes of tonight's meeting? Stacy, you're not a member of the board.
Patrick, for also spending the
you're
night.
You're out of order.
Okay.
I would like to acknowledge Patrick.
And all that work. Thank you.
And I'd also like to acknowledge Wendy Schrell. She's been doing a really great job helping out upstairs. We are finally starting to make some headway. And I'd also like to recognize Brian Sanchez. Not only is he working on the underwriting, but he also did, I saw two trade ads that he did in a magazine for People of Earth and Vegan Radio.
All right. Has everyone had a chance to see the minutes from last month? They were emailed to everyone. Is there any objection to approving the minutes with the caveat that if you see anything in subsequent months, you can bring it back for reconsideration? Yes, sir.
A personal privilege. I didn't see it, and somebody told me about when it was mailed out, so I can go back and...
I think it was about middle of last week.
Okay.
If you call me, I can be more definitive about that.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I move that the minutes from last month be referred to our secretary, Deb Shafto, for revision because there's a lot of content that's really contrary to what Robert's rules calls for in the minutes. And let her clean them up. So, and postpone consideration until next month so that she can do that.
No second?
I second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded. Would you like to speak to your motion, Bill?
Well, it takes a lot of time, but there's a lot of content that doesn't belong in minutes per Robert's rules. A lot of, you know, the details on public comment, and there's huge amounts of information on things like that. And it's, you know, read Robert's rules. Robert's rules has a good summary of what should be in minutes, and this doesn't follow that. So I just would like our secretary to clean it up.
Would you mind trying to go
through
the rules?
Adrian, you wish to speak against the motion?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Well, according to our standing rules, the secretary is the one that makes the minutes, right? And you send the corrections, and according to our standing and special rules, it's up to the secretary. I don't understand why a secretary that wasn't here can make a different minutes that belong to the secretary, the pro tem secretary that we have. I can read you from the standing and special rules, but if somebody wants it, somebody needs the explanation. And Robert will look for the something that we apply when we don't have anything else that clarifies. We have our standing rules, special and standing rules that speak about the issue. Thank you.
Rhonda Garner for the staff. We have a recording that our secretary can listen to if there's an objection. And again, Ted, I'd like to ask that the meetings that are being recorded be posted KPFTX. Mm-hmm. They're not there. So if you guys are recording them for your own personal use and not for the purpose of the board, then let us know so we can see to recording these meetings and getting them posted on KPFTX. Thank you.
Is there someone who is recording tonight's meeting? Okay, do you have quality sound that would pick up everybody in the room?
Bill is doing
well, it. I'm recording it. And what I think Adrian had volunteered several months ago to upload it to KPFTX because there's some work involved in splitting up the files and getting rid of the stuff at the beginning and the end and, if necessary, changing the bit rates.
Well, normally it's the work of the secretary, okay? It's the one that does that.
And give her the tape.
I'll be glad to provide my recording.
You bring your recording and give it to Ted. Well, is it,
bro? Bill, is your recorder in the best place possible to catch everyone's voice?
It's close. I'll put it over.
Why don't you put it on the floor right in front of
there? Get knocked over. Put it
on? Or on a chair.
I don't want to get knocked over. This is fine.
Someone who would like to speak in favor of the motion to refer this matter to the secretary, Jim? Is that what you'd like to speak to? PK, would you like to speak against the motion of referring this matter to the secretary?
Well, I don't have a problem with referring it to the secretary. I have a problem with thinking that there were errors that this secretary would be the one to answer to and could work with Deb Shafto. As long as they get it together, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Mm-hmm.
you wish to make an amendment that it be Deb and Joseph Davis working on this together? Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment that it be Joseph working with Deb? Deb?
Yeah, I have an objection. I'm based on this grounds. We had an incident a year or so ago where people were maligned and almost taunted in the minutes. And the only thing that Robert's Rules calls for minutes is not personal comment or your observation or your opinion of what happened, but actually what was moved and passed or moved and rejected. And there shouldn't be anything else in the minutes except that, to my knowledge. Now, maybe you can point a chapter where it says that the secretary's opinion of people is important and should be in the minutes, but you've got to show it to me. I don't see it in Robert's.
It's not.
I would like to point out that our standing and special rules supersede Robert's.
There is no rule about personal opinion.
Well, I don't know what's in our standing and special rules.
Well,
I'm just pointing that out. I'm not speaking one way or the other. Is there any other speaker who wishes to speak to the amendment? Seeing none, we'll vote on the amendment, which is that Joseph Davis and Deb Shafto work together to provide us with a new version of the August minutes. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no.
No.
Okay, the amendment fails. We'll now go back to the...
Mr. Chair?
Didn't we start this little...
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let me back up a moment. I see hands going up like happened a few moments ago, and I don't know what that hand means. There are reasons to interrupt the business of this body, and you can do it by saying you have a request for information, you have a point of order, you have a point of parliamentary inquiry. If you want to ask a question, just say, request for information. Okay, Jim.
When did we start the I know enough? Raise your hand.
When I became chair of this body, I referred to Robert's Rules of Order, which says there are a variety of techniques that one can use to determine the outcome of a vote. And if you think the outcome is going to be overwhelming, you can use a voice vote, which is the fastest way to ascertain the outcome. If it's less likely for the chair to know, you can ask for a hand vote. I don't have to count the votes.
Point of procedure.
I'm answering his question, and then I will be happy to deal with any other points of this or that. But I'm trying to expedite the business, and that's why I choose to use whichever technique I think will expedite the business. Okay?
Point of procedure, Mr. Chair.
There is no such thing as a point of procedure.
Yes, a parliamentary procedure, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, what is your point of parliamentary inquiry?
No, it's not an inquiry. I want to say what we have in a standing and a special rules require 2/3 to be modified. And I can read it if everybody wants it. Article 2, meeting procedure, section 1, meeting minutes. I can read it from here if you want me, or you can read it, have a better voice than mine. And then we need 2/3 to modify this.
Okay.
And you need to count the votes, sir.
It isn't my voice.
It says under meeting procedures, meeting minutes D, upon approval of the proposed meeting minutes at the next regular monthly meeting, approved minutes that contain any and all changes made in the process of approval, and the approval dated and signed by the secretary shall be provided one paper copy to the public record book and an email copy to the KPFT website. This is not germane to what we're talking about. Do you want to show me what you're talking about? We haven't voted on it. It was not germane. That's I ruled it out of order.
Okay. Yes, sir, I'm sorry, but you read that part.
At the secretary's discretion, that you see that.
Okay.
Yes, read that part, please. Thank you. Can you read it in
the secretary shall receive corrections and changes in a timely manner to allow changes to be, at the secretary's discretion, included in the publication of proposed minutes. So we sent out the minutes. Did anybody make any corrections to the minutes prior to tonight? Okay, so I still don't know how that pertains to Bill's
how
motion.
How that pertains, because, sorry, may I explain it?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, my English is not that good, but I will try.
Yes.
When you put there at the secretary discretion, it means that the corrections, the secretary is the one that decides what was in the minutes, unless that we change the language and we are not speaking in English anymore.
Bill, did you offer any corrections to the
not specifically, it's just, I mean, the whole thing needs to be read.
But you didn't send anything to the secretary requesting that?
No, but I'm just saying they should be redone with our prior regular secretary. That's what the motion is. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Let's vote on the motion.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring this to the motion to refer these minutes to the secretary. Without the input of the Secretary Pro Tem. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no.
No.
The ayes have it and the motion is passed.
Can you tell me the number, sir? How many yes and how many no do we have?
No, I can't. I can tell you it passed. Do you want to call for a division of the House?
Two-thirds.
Okay.
All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands. The motion is to refer the minutes to the secretary for revision. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3.
Four. Five, sir.
Okay, well, it passes.
Yes.
Okay, ordinarily you don't have to count when it's overwhelming, but in this case I chose to. Okay, we have agenda approval. The first item after we approve the agenda is Roman numeral 6, new business, a motion from Adrian LaViolette, which has been, in her absence, assumed by P.K. McCary, and it's in an addendum that I distributed over the weekend. And it talks about the issue of
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. What is your point?
I think we skipped agenda approval. I have something.
That's what we're doing right now.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
This has to do with the issue of discharging the general manager. After that, we will have an investigative committee report regarding the trial of Bill Crozier, and then a motion regarding Robert Mark's trial. Then we will go to KPFT and Pacifica Finances.
Fascist.
And then I think I will withdraw this. This was an effort to create a special, no, I'll leave it in and we'll see if you want to deal with it. A committee to fulfill the effort to create a program council. And then we have Roman numeral 7A, the National Board Report, Adriana, Bill, Rhonda, and Robert. And then National Board Committee Reports. I would like to find out right now who has a report. Elaine Duncan or P.K. McCary on audit? Has that committee met?
Yes.
And do you have a report?
Yes.
Okay. That's my question across the board. Inclusion? Committee of Inclusion, has that committee met? Okay, so that will not be a part of our agenda tonight. Development, neither Jaime nor Greg are here. Greg might be here later.
He's here.
You are. Do you has the Development Committee reported, the National Development Committee? Do you have a report?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Elections Committee, Robert Gardner, do you have a report?
No election committee has been convened.
Thank you. Governance, Elaine and PK, as the National Governance Committee.
No, are you talking about locally or?
National, all of this is national.
Yeah, we did meet since the last one.
Do you have a report?
Yes.
Okay. Programming, Anissa and Mike Lewis, has that committee met?
We haven't met.
Okay. Affiliates Task Force, Nancy and Teresa. Do they have a report?
Didn't meet yet.
Okay. Archives Task Force. That's
didn't meet yet.
Nancy and Anissa not met. Okay, and then we have the General Manager's Report, Standing Committee Reports. I know that Anti-Racism and Diversity has not met. Development, was someone here to report for the Development Committee? Nope. Okay, Facilities Management, Robert Gardner and Bobby Modad. Do you have a report?
We're working on a PSA.
Do you have a report? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Governance, Joseph Davis is not here. Management Selection and Review, Jaime is not here. Is there someone who can report for the MSRC? Okay. Outreach, Vinicia Williams, do you have a report?
Yes.
Okay, and then special committee reports. Community Advisory Board, is there anyone here to report from them? Or website development? Nope. Okay, and then we have unfinished business regarding the banking account, and then new business continued with... I will withdraw that motion on human needs. Motion from Robert Mark regarding a committee to investigate and make recommendations on a sanction against me. You wish to continue with that item?
I think that there's some things in there that ought to be investigated.
All right. So yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. PK regarding censorship. Susie Moreno, if she shows up regarding diversity in programming. If she does not arrive, is there someone else who would like to speak to that motion?
Susie, I can.
Okay. Gardner regarding bumper stickers, and Gardner regarding volunteer sign-up sheets. And that looks like it. Okay, that's tonight's agenda.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Before the last meeting, and again before this meeting several times, I've asked to have an executive session where we can talk about the personnel changes. And it was not put on the agenda last month, but the board agreed to add it, but we didn't get to that. And I asked again for it to be added for this agenda also, and I still don't see it. So I move that we add an executive session to discuss the personnel changes, because there's a lot of people wanting answers, and I can't give them in open session.
Okay, this is an
and
executive
I like a time
session.
Certain. I like a time certain so we don't not get to it like happened again last month.
I wish you would just make your motion and not speak to it before it is seconded.
Time certain for 9:20. That way we don't have to kick the public out early.
9:20, and it is to address
the personnel changes.
What is your question?
Is that going to be before the trial outcome or after?
Maybe we won't have to have a trial.
It's executive session. If it becomes moot, we'll address it later, but if not, then it would be something we would address at 9:20. Okay, is there, there's a second?
I have a question. Okay. Information. Are we going to be making any decisions on different items, right, on the agenda that would be somehow affected by what we would learn in executive session? What I'm asking is, if we're going to learn something new, shouldn't we know everything before we vote on anything?
That would be logic. Yeah.
Bill, would you like to speak to... Wait, Alexander, would you please repeat your question? Give me a second shot so I'm clear on what you're saying.
Shouldn't we know what's going to be said in executive session if some information's going to come out or something before we do anything on the agenda?
My understanding is that it is regarding personnel changes, and if it becomes moot, then it will be dropped from the agenda. If it's not, then we will address it at 9:20, and the community will be... Well, wait a second. In order to go into executive session, it's required that it be posted via CPB rules,
point
and so therefore
order,
your
Mr.
motion
Chair.
Bill is out of order.
Point of order, sure. Mr. Chair.
State your point.
My point of order is that the rules allow always, if something is urgent, we can add it just there. We don't need the seven days notice. If the interim executive director have something that you want to discuss with us in executive session, I believe we should allow it. I mean, the open session need to have at least 7 days, but not the second decision. That's why when an emergency happens, that is what happened.
Okay. Is that everyone's understanding that we can go into executive session without announcing it publicly in advance?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to having a time certain of 9:20 to address personnel changes? Is there any objection? If there's no objection, it's passed.
I'd like to voice an objection. It seems to me we have it backwards in that I think we want to have the executive session before the specific motion on the agenda that may be impacted by information that we get from the executive session.
Okay, so would you like to make an amendment to the motion?
I do. I guess I have a point of information. What time is public comment?
Eight.
That's what I thought. Okay, it's not on the agenda for some reason. I would move that we amend the motion to do a time certain executive session immediately following the public comment, and then take up the applicable motion, which I believe is 6A, after the executive session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Can you put that in writing, please, and pass it to the secretary? It's been moved and seconded that we address. Nick, I'm sorry, but we address the personnel changes in executive session immediately following public comment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, and before we address motion 6A, B, and C, is that also part of your motion?
A and B.
Okay. Before A and B.
Is there a consensus at C? Is what are the executive
sessions? I would have C too.
A, B, and C.
Okay, that means... Okay. Is everyone clear on the amendment?
I'm not.
Is everyone on the board? Okay?
Why did the program cancel?
We've scrapped it. Okay. All those in favor of the motion that was just stated twice, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Okay, the motion passes. All right. So we will go to Roman numeral 6D, KPFT and Pacifica Finances. And I'll read this to everyone. The dire financial circumstances facing KPFT and Pacifica, including the difficulties with paying payroll. What I am offering is that we meet in a quasi-committee of the whole, which means that each person on this panel, although only Bill Crozier, Nick Economides, and Greg Audell are here, but Bill will be given 5 minutes. The other three will be given 3 minutes to provide the LSP and the community with their understanding of the financial status of KPFT and or Pacifica. Following these reports, each member of the LSP will be given 1 minute to ask one question. Each member of the panel will be given 1 minute to reply. All panelists are urged to provide written statements and supporting documents. So Bill, Greg, and Nick, can I ask the three of you to come?
Point of information, sir.
Yes.
How long is this item?
Whatever it takes for the time to get us probably to 8 o'clock, which is 20 minutes. And then to the 9:20 item regarding...
I know.
Regarding the personnel issues. So, Greg, if they're not going to move, I would like to ask you to come up here. Bill, would you begin? You have 5 minutes.
Okay. Can I just sit here, though?
If you wish.
Okay. Well, Pacific finances continue to be critical. As you know, I've been talking about this for 2.5 years, or 3 years, I guess. Pacific, I'll try to summarize here. Pacific has about $8 million in debt. We owe about $2.3 million to Democracy Now!. We owe about $2.4 million. It's increasing every month to the Empire State Building, Empire State Realty Trust for unpaid tower rent in New York. And by the way, yes, these are obligations of all of Pacifica. It's not just one station. We're one legal entity, one corporation. We have unfunded pension liabilities, which is actually more than we anticipated. If you looked at the FY15 audit, which was just finished last month, that was KPFT's part through FY15 was over $40,000, and that doesn't include FY16 or FY17. They're still working on that, of course. I want to thank, by the way, the audit committee for getting the auditor going and getting that good. And I want to thank Bob Marks, the leadership of that committee, also, because it was a lot of work that had to be done in a short time. And the good news is, we had been given a warning letter from the Attorney General of the State of California back in December. Now, I and the others on the National Board didn't find out about it until January, but basically that our tax-exempt status would be revoked if we didn't get audits caught up. And at that time, they gave us a deadline of the end of February, which, of course, was impossible. We got an extension until August 27th, and we got it finished about a week early before that. We got the audit finished, also the 990, which is the federal tax return for FY16, and also the amended return for FY15. It was amended to reflect the audited values. We got an acknowledgement from the Attorney General saying thank you, we're in good standing. We also got an acknowledgement from the Franchise Tax Board, which is a separate California entity, said we're in good standing. So that's good. Now we still have to. We've asked for an extension on the FY16 audit because it was officially due in June, and we hope to finish that around February. We haven't started yet. The National Office was very understaffed. They're still understaffed. They've got some new people. They've been doing great work. There was a huge amount of cleanup. Literally, there were several years worth of neglect on our finances at all the stations and. That's why the audits weren't done. So they had to do a lot of cleanup, but they still have some more cleanup to do for FY16. And right now, they're busy right now trying to get things going for the pension funding. There's a lot of stuff going on. I can't tell you about all of it necessarily with the amount of time we have. But for example, the SAG-AFTRA, which is the union in KPFK in Los Angeles, is pushing us for arbitration. We're trying to get, because of the unfunded pension, we're trying to get that resolved this week. Anyway, there's still a lot of, we don't even know exactly how much money is still needs to be funded for FY 16 and 17. So I've been asking all of the general managers and all the treasurers of all the stations to look for a planning for a surplus for this next year so we can start making some headway on the debt and so that we can start getting caught up on some of this stuff. There's just incredible neglect over the last several years, and so we're digging ourselves out of a big hole, but we are making progress. KPFT, as you know, had three fund drives in the first 6 months of the year. The last fund drive, which was in June, we only got 45% of its goal. We got about $125,000 in pledges. I don't know what the fulfillments were. The fulfillment rate has been quite a bit lower lately. We've had some really serious problems, I'll just say. I can't talk about it in open session, but they're getting resolved, so that's good. I know a lot of you heard, you probably have lots of complaints about thank you gifts not being sent out and things like that. So those are getting resolved. It does take some time. There's been a lot of positive feedback about some of the changes to the program schedule. I'm sorry that some people were claiming that all the public affairs shows were gone. It's obviously not true. Some of the ones that were removed have been brought back, such as Counterspin and Economic Update and From the Vault in 30-minute versions. Some of these things will, I think, help with financial performance. I've been encouraging Larry Winters to make the program schedule work financially. The afternoon drive time has not been doing well at all in the past, so it's sort of an experiment moving the local news up to right after Democracy Now! In the morning. We hope that will do better. It's been getting some positive responses from that. And also moving the afternoon Democracy Now! Up to 2 o'clock so that it will help feed public affairs aficionados into the 3 p.m. shows. Most of the evening shows are just the way they were. If you've been moved around a little bit, the 3 o'clock shows are, I believe, all the same. Open Journal was cut from 5 days a week to 1 day a week. The show that was cut the most was Susan Darrow's show. It was a music show. Rourke Smith's coming back, or is back. So I think things are looking up, but we still have a long way to go, and we've got to start paying back some of our debt. And Central Services have not been paid since June of 2017, but they were paid last month.
Yay!
I'm really
glad
about that.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Okay.
Next will be Nick Economides, but I want to point out that Obadike Kamau has some information that he was able to obtain from both Brian Sanchez and Markeisha Van Zandt. So,
I didn't get anything from Markeisha.
Okay, then from Brian Sanchez.
With
Andrew. Okay, but I'll let you go last, okay? Nick.
You know, I don't have much to add that's not in the Treasurer's Report.
Why don't you give that to us now?
All right, it was distributed electronically. I brought some copies if anybody would want have one. I don't know if I have one for everybody here. The main thing that I would point out, two copies here. You know, right now we're projecting a deficit for this year of over $100,000 on a budgeted, we're budgeting revenues of just over $1 million. So that's a significant loss for the year. We really haven't made Central Services payments for the year. This goes back to Dwayne Bradley, but for a long-standing period, we've taken the position that for some reason Central Services payments are something that can be neglected, and that's problematic for the parent. Things are not good, and I think the report reflects that. Anybody else need a copy?
I need the second page if anyone wants.
I need one for the record.
Okay. We're going to come back for Q&A after everyone presents. Okay, so Greg Odell, former interim development director.
Well, I want to clarify a few things. You know, it's odd. We hear about what terrible shape financially the KPFT is in. And I mean, we neglect the fact that we had the same general manager for 15 years and that we didn't make...
Excuse me, point of order? What is that? Why is Greg Aldell speaking on this board?
I'm sorry.
Why is Obadike at the table? Why is Dwayne Lark at the table? And why is Greg Aldell at this table? They are not on this board.
I know.
Mr. Chair, please, point of order. Can you call Rhonda Garner to order, please?
Thank you.
Just ignore me.
You're talking to me. You're talking to me.
So, Ted, can you answer that, please?
Because I put them on the agenda and I'm asking for a report since they are aware of financial issues and you're out of order.
How are they there?
You're out of order.
No, I'm not. You're out of order with your decision, Mr. Chair.
May I continue?
Yes.
It's odd that, you know, I fundamentally believe that the changes that were made in firing Obadike and bringing on Jerry Sumrall were strictly personal, had nothing to do with business. Because we'd only made one pledge drive goal in a decade. And so when we came on board, one thing that Obadike and I agreed on, and I think we were very open with the board about it, is we're working to reduce the reliance on pledge drives because they weren't working. There had to be another way to bring money into the station. So we were working very hard to bring monthly events, such as the Amy Goodman event, such as John Curacao coming in, such as Carl Bernstein from the Washington Post coming in. We had dinners set up each and every month we had personal injury lawyers and we had top political staffers, and they committed to raising $15,000 each month just through dinners that we do in people's homes. And these are the kind of things that we're going to have to do to bring more money in. I can tell you, focusing on the pledge drive is beating a dead horse. We know they don't work. So it was odd that after, you know, just 90 days, we were told, we were not given any time of timeline when we were brought on. We said, look, you need to improve the finances of KPFT. And that's what we were committed to doing by bringing in different events. We were just starting a GoFundMe campaign for $200,000 to refurbish the studio. We had a storytellers event listed for September 16th. So we were bringing new people, new blood, new money into the organization. So it doesn't make sense that we would stop all of that. To my knowledge, very little has come in since we left. I don't have a lot of hopes for the pledge
drive. How would you know?
Oh, my God. Mr. Chair, please, call the member to order.
Adrian. I will, but don't jump and do my job for me. Please, will everyone on the board let him finish? He has one more minute.
You know, and also, you know, I actually just left a board orientation a few minutes ago for another board, and they were talking about one of the primary responsibilities of the board member is a fiduciary responsibility. And when Bill Crozier fired an experienced manager and put in someone with no experience in radio station management or management at all, Jerry Sumrall, that is violating his fiduciary duty to the board. And quite honestly, getting rid of all the development programs, the underwriting programs, that is violating his fiduciary duty. Doing it in a way he did, in which sets up KPFT for numerous lawsuits, which will happen, is again violating his fiduciary duty. He could have been honest. He could have talked to the board the night before he decided to do this, but he didn't. He decided to go around y'all. He didn't want to include people, you know. And just like giving money to Dwayne Bradley for doing absolutely nothing for, I believe, 90 days, that's not his right to do. That's a violation of his fiduciary duty to the board, just as giving the money to Christine Blasdale for something we could have done ourselves and had a far better product, but we didn't have a choice. We had to give that money away, and that is a violation of his fiduciary duty, and the board better act on it because you have a fiduciary duty too.
Thank you. Obadike, would you please share with us what you received from Ryan Sanchez?
I will be happy. I'm just going to read Ryan's statement. The following is a comprehensive list of programs and projects relating to or started by Dr. Kamau during his term as interim general manager, of which I, Ryan Sanchez, the director of underwriting, participated and implemented. I have been asked by Dr. Kamau and members of the LSB to produce this list. I submit this list as truthfully and objectively as I understand it to be. The list will consist of the name of the project, followed by a description of the project, followed by the current standing of the project. The first program we dealt with is underwriting. Underwriting is a financial gift that an organization gives to KPFT, which we acknowledge on the air. under Dr. Kamau, underwriting was expanded to include new sales associates to assist in the expansion of fundraising through this program. We planned on converting space to create office room for the department. Sales numbers increased during this period of time. I must say the sales numbers increased substantially. The top number that we top month being June, where I'm writing about in $12,000. Yeah, no. Also, we had projected that our goal was to raise $25,000 a month through underwriting, which would have eliminated the need for one fund drive because that's roughly $300,000 per year. So the underwriting was definitely headed in that direction. Current standing. Underwriting has declined as a result of several factors. Sales associates have left under this new period, thus reducing the capacity to bring in new underwriters. And bad press has caused several organizations to decline working with KPFT for the time being. I have also shifted my focus on other projects, or two other projects, which has reduced my involvement in fundraising through this manner. Marketing, the promotion and advertising of KPFT. Under Dr. Kamau, a three-part marketing plan was crafted. This included an online strategy utilizing social media, a print strategy using specific magazines and newspapers, and the rebranding contest. Current standards. The online strategy for marketing has not been implemented. It was due to have been implemented in late July. The KPFT website currently being the main online form of outreach. There currently is no staff in place to follow through the Google grants, YouTube nonprofit program, and Twitter ad grants, which would have been part of the digital marketing strategy we were developing. We have successfully implemented a portion of the print marketing by making partnerships with OutSmart Magazine and Natural Awakening, and the deal with the Houston Press still being negotiated. However, I have not had the capacity to fully conduct outreach for all the other listed magazines within the plan. I'm also unsure as to where the rebranding contest currently stands. Grant writing. The application process to receive funding from a funding institution. Under Dr. Kamau, we identified 43 grants applicable to KPFT for which the station could receive funding. This included fully funding the news department, staff financing, premium funding, IT funding, and more. The grant goal of $1 million was set annually with the hopes of exceeding that goal by the end of the first year of Dr. Kamau's tenure. We also had created two grant writing teams that would divide the work up in the hopes of accelerating KPFT's grant application. The grant writing teams have quit from the project in protest to the termination of Dr. Kamau and of Tucker Wilson. As a result, we have missed multiple deadlines since there currently is no person to write grants. I restarted the effort, I as Brian, to make new grants team by producing a spot to run on the air asking for grant writers. I have also started general grant applications for template use to answer common questions in grant applications. Special premiums. High-value pledge gifts to use as a method of fundraising. Under Dr. Kamau, a variety of unique premiums were decided on to assist in fundraising. Greg Ardell, the former development director, can speak more to this point. My main involvement, however, involved a special project to produce a four-part video documentary series for which KPFT can only use as a unique premium. We identified a grant that would have facilitated the funding for production of these documentaries and planned on filming to begin in January. We decided on this idea as a result of NPR reporting of how their documentaries generate millions of dollars to their network, as well as comparing other nonprofit radio stations for fundraising based on documentary sales. Much like the Pacifica Thumb Drive, we also produce these documentaries to be used as a fundraising tool by the entire Pacifica Network. One of the things
that's a good place to stop, I think.
And can I finish the point about documentaries?
Yes. The body will
say to Greg, but neglected to mention that we, in fact, he contracted and a brief documentary was produced to be used for fundraising purposes. This documentary has been finished except for editing and the final product you know, with people being allowed to look at it and make suggestions. And if anyone wants to see that work, they can speak with Mr. Ardell and he can connect you to the link. And there were others, but of course.
Mr. Chair?
Hold on just a second, Adriana. It is about 30 seconds before 8 o'clock. Scooter, is he still here? There was a pad by the door of people who want to speak during public comment, and that gentleman back there, don't know your name?
Matthew.
Matthew. Okay, Matthew will be the keeper of that, I guess?
He just left to use the restroom.
Okay, well, if anybody wants to speak during public comment, it's 5 seconds from now.
Mr. Chair, Susie's here.
Please note, Madam Secretary, that Susie Moreno is here, and I think Bob Gartner was a late arrival, but he's here.
No, Lisa's filming.
I just called it. I didn't keep it.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
point of information, how many public speakers are on the list at this point?
Okay. Is that Matthew? 16 are on the list. Last month we extended the time to 2 minutes per person. I would imagine there may be some people not on the list who want to add themselves to it. But is the body willing to give each speaker 2 minutes as we did last week? Adriana.
Mr. Chair, I believe that our rules said that the minimum is 30 minutes. I think that if the public came here to talk to us, the less that we can do is just to listen to them.
Well, 16 times 2 is 32 minutes, so...
Plus.
Wally?
You were opening it up for more people to get in, so it will be longer than 32.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's try and keep it as close as we can to 30.
Are you proposing that we deny people 2 minutes? Not everyone's going to speak for the full 2 minutes.
Well, but yeah, divide it up where everybody fits into 30 minutes.
Would you do that for me?
What?
2 minutes? Does anybody object to 2 minutes per speaker? Okay.
I call the president.
All right. Who is number one? May I have that list, Judon? Who is number one on the list?
Eric Mall.
Eric Mall.
Let me go for it, sir.
Get broke your list like you did the last time. What are you doing since your report?
We can have a supplementary.
Okay, take the privilege to join the other people. I will when I leave.
If anyone else comes in, would you want to? Are you on the list?
I have no clue.
Would you like to go
first? Yes, I will.
Okay, why don't you get up there and the board?
We have a bin.
And I am going to hold speakers to 2 minutes. I really would appreciate if everyone would adhere to the time limit that has been established. That's probably the hardest part of this meeting is to get people to stop at 2 minutes. So please respect what we're attempting to do.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to do something. I'm going to speak for 1 minute. But I'm going to speak to the issue that I helped establish the fact that if you resign and you choose to change your mind, that you have the right to do so. But that's a special courtesy, that if in fact you do want to change your mind, please call the chair, text the chair, because there is a transition process that you should be aware of being a board. So you wasted my time by deciding that you did want to stand. That's a professional courtesy I'm asking you to extend to anyone. For those of you who have a problem with me sitting up here, I wouldn't have spent this time here had I not been informed.
Stop bullying her.
Okay. Ladies, everyone,
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Point of order, Mr. Chair. Point of order.
That's just reflective.
I should have emailed
that's
you.
Just
I'm
reflective
sorry.
Of the disrespect.
No, I should have emailed him.
That's just reflective of the disrespect, the decorum, the out of quorum, and anything else that happened to do. But it does not reflect this organization. It only reflects the individuals. And that's what we lose.
Because KPFT is going to live regardless of the stupidity, the disrespect, the hate, the angst. But I close by saying, I'm a servant. So when I'm called, I serve. Some of you could help me lose these last 2 hours I lost that I may have been making a little money. If you want to save some money on your insurance, I don't care what it is.
It's a commercial.
Whatever kind of insurance you need, I guarantee you I will save you money. Now, don't call me again unless you know for a fact that person has resigned.
Eric Mall, are you here?
Yep.
Would you please come and stand in front of the gentleman with his legs crossed?